Good morning. Denny, it's Mother's Day. Don't be bossing your mom around. I know she wasn't in her seat, but, you know, today she kind of gets a pass on that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Mothers get a pass today. Welcome to Broad Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Let's begin with 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. It says, "Be sober of spirit with self-control. Be on the alert constantly, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." And that was, the Bible has to be interpreted in the time that it was written. And at the time this was written, Christians were being eaten by lions in the Colosseum, right? So that's what Peter is referring to here. "Resist him," that means withstand his onslaughts, "firm in your faith." How do you withstand the onslaughts of the devil? Firm in your faith, your absolute confidence in Christ, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren, other believers in Christ, who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in union with Christ, that's God the Father, the God the Father of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory and union with Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, if somebody else makes that claim, it doesn't mean much. If a human being says that to you, probably doesn't mean much. But when the Lord Jesus Christ says it, it is a guarantee. And what is the guarantee? The guarantee is that suffering is not forever. It happens for a little while. And while it's happening, often we feel down. But it's the Lord's intent always to lift us up, to take us from crucifixion to resurrection. As we are commanded to keep on doing, a request from our sovereign God to our free will, today we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We take a moment to look back at the cross. We do this celebration in remembrance of Him. And when we look back to the cross, we see sacrifice. In God's plan, sacrifice always precedes exaltation. In God's plan, sacrifice always precedes promotion, exaltation. We see our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging from the cross on our behalf, making an oath to us with his blood. The Divine One came to us from his Father to demonstrate his unconditional love and his Father's unconditional love for all mankind. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were unbelievers, while we were his enemy, the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitute for us." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, "The Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to the sovereignty of the sin nature, and so that we might live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 say, "When you were spiritually dead in your transgressions at physical birth, and spiritually dead in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God the Father made you alive together in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, having forgiven us in the past, with the result that it stands finished forever, having forgiven us all of our transgressions." How many? All, that's right. A poem says it, or Colossians 2:14, "Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And God the Father has taken the debt out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." What is that certificate of debt? It's an indictment. And if you are brought into court, you are indicted, accused. But that indictment was canceled out at the cross for all mankind, for anyone who is willing to take advantage of that cancellation of debt. A poem says it this way, "Jesus, for thee a body takes, thy guilt assumes, thy fetter breaks, discharging all thy dreadful debt, and canst thou then such love forget?" Of course not. We can't forget. And we mustn't forget that it is God's intention that we come on up, The Lord forgets, by the way. And what a great forgetter our Lord is. He forgets our sins. He forgets our transgressions, even when we are his enemy. And he says to us, come on up. And in his forgetting, he invites us up. And as God prepares your soul for renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song, and let's celebrate the one who remembers to forget.
Be blessed.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for welcoming us to come up to the higher ground of victory through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we celebrate his death on the cross today, and as we celebrate the promise of his resurrection, help us to not forget for a moment the sacrifice that he made on our behalf, and help us to accept his invitation to come on up to the cross with him. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord's Supper celebration, the cross invites you to come on up. The cross invites you to come on up. Happy Mother's Day to everybody who is a mother, male and female alike. And a grandma. Happy Mother's Day to your daughter and you, grandma, and great grandpa, and great, great, all that. M is for the many things she gave me. O is only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for a heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with bright lights shining. R is right and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother. A word that means the world to me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Elvis has left the building. A few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is June 8th, 2014. Mark your calendars. June 1st, there will be face-to-face teaching. I forgot that we moved. So we can do anything we want. Right? So there'll be face-to-face teaching, Deacons Elliot Clark and Caleb Auburn presiding. And poor Caleb said, I took his lesson this morning in the first lesson. Sorry about that, bro. So you'll have to come up with another one. Congratulations to Noelle Lagrasso, Tony's daughter. She won an art poster contest. There she is. One of the sweetest human beings I have ever met in my entire life. That's Tony's wife, Jen. And that's my man, Tony. So best wishes to you guys. I hope the snow has melted in Detroit. It ought to be by now. It's May. All right, let's take the offering next. We're going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. Let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Which says each one of us must do just as he has purposed in his heart and not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Come on up, Deacon Denny.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a tax collector for Barah Ministries. Wait. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. And it's interesting because Pastor's first lesson kind of piggybacks onto what I was thinking about this week as we've delved into Romans 2 and talked about the consequences of self-righteousness and religion. I thought about how those two things divide you at all phases of life. They're divisive. They start in family, where the kids go to school and they're so worried about others' opinions, where they dress, what they look like, and what they do. You know, it causes animosity between your parents. I remember going to Target and Kmart and was so embarrassed to shop there, and I'd see other people. But they were there too, so what really matters? And where are those people now? What does their opinion matter of me? It doesn't change my life. What changes my life is God's opinion of me. And that's why we're here. I mean, it happens to parents. Parents are so worried about other parents, impressing them and doing the right thing, or impressing their children and being the child's friend rather than a parent. and they make the wrong choice, and they're actually dividing their family. And that can happen at church, too. Pastor could go down a long road trying to impress everybody, trying to, you know, impress the wrong people and worry about their opinions, when only truth that matters is right here in the Bible. And that's what's guiding him. So, you know, you've all come here, you've all supported this, and we're making subtle improvements every week, and it's just an awesome thing to be a part of. So thank you for your constant contributions of time, talent, and treasure. And for this week, the verse is going to be 2 Corinthians 10:18. I should have used his first verses that he had, because that hits it on the head too. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but let he whom the Lord commends be approved. I think it says that as well. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. And happy Mother's Day.
Thank you to our tax collector, Deacon Denny Goodall. Let's just get one thing straight, Deacon Denny. Your thoughts piggyback on my thoughts. My thoughts do not piggyback on your thoughts. Let's just get that straightened out right away, all right? All right. Yeah. No, I don't think so. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. The Lord's Supper celebration, the cross invites you to come on up. Up. Yeah, up. Oh, the wave. The cross invites you to come on up. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Here's what it says. It says, the Lord Jesus Christ summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself of self-interest. That's not asceticism. It's deny himself of self-interest. If you don't have self-interest, what do you have? Other interests. That's why we call it Mother's Day. So you scratch off the M and it's Other Day. Right? Because that's what a mother is. A mother is someone who is for others. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself of self-interest and take up his cross in obedience and keep on following me. Mark 8:35. For whoever wishes to save his own life will lose it. Self-righteousness is not effective for salvation. But whoever loses his own life in self-sacrifice for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. It has always been God's intention that we be lifted up. Yes, yet as ironic as it seems, the cross is always the way up. Quite often in this life, we feel put down by the things that happen to us, that are crosses, the suffering that we must endure. But did it ever occur to you that the Lord never felt that way when he was on the cross? The Lord never felt put down by the cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 reminds us to keep on fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the humiliation of the cross, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. The cross is called the joy set before our Lord. He was happy to suffer for us. Are you happy when you're suffering? You should be. For what is suffering? What's really being put down? It's not our new self that's suffering, believers. It's not the new creature that is suffering, because the new creature does not look at suffering that way. Our new self loves suffering. It's our old self that hates suffering. Our old self and its ego loves preferential treatment, the kind that is taught to those who practice self-righteousness or religion. But we didn't learn the Lord in this way. We learned the Lord through humility. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We learned the Lord in humility. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Says this. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in union with Christ, and of course there is, if there is any consolation of unconditional love, and of course there is, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is, if there is any affection and compassion, and there is, Philippians 2:2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind as Jesus Christ, maintaining the same unconditional love as Jesus Christ, united in spirit with Jesus Christ, intent on one purpose, like Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, ego, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. There it is. Everything in the New Testament tells us, stop doing this, do that. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. Stop doing that. Instead, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Philippians 2:4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. Stop doing that. But also look out for the interests of others. Do that. Philippians 2:5. Have this same attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he was 100% deity, 100% true humanity in one person forever. the uniquely born person of the universe, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God the Father as a thing to be seized and held. Philippians 2:7, but he emptied himself. He put himself in submission to God the Father's plan, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, true humanity. Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance as a man, he humiliated himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And it was the most humiliating death of all. Crucifixion, a death on the cross. For this reason also, Philippians 2:9, God the Father highly exalted the Lord Jesus Christ and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, Philippians 2:10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, of those who are on earth, and those who are in Hades under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, it doesn't matter today whether you're a believer in Christ or an unbeliever. To anyone but you. You see, believers in Christ already know what the rewards are that we're in store for because we're in union with Christ. If you're an unbeliever, God's given you an opportunity. If you're breathing, he's given you an opportunity. And maybe you don't think much of the opportunity. I heard someone say last week, I just do my own thing. You know, I got a temple of Buddha. And I got a temple and I got a cross, Jesus Christ. But I just kind of do my own thing. Okay. It's your prerogative. You can do what you want to do. Right? It's your prerogative. But one day, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. What does that mean? Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is God. So do your own thing. See how that works out for you. It's not going to work out. And that's why, one of the reasons why the Lord has us stop every month and look back at the cross, just to remind us what was done there, so that we can tell other people what was done there. And what was done there is making you doing your own thing not necessary. Because he did your thing for you at the cross. And then he was resurrected from the dead to prove that he's God. Why did he do that? He did that because God wants us to go up. In sports, the athlete will say, I need to step up my game. In business, the CEO will say, we need to get to the next level. In warfare, the high ground is the place of strategic importance. In the spiritual life, the Lord calls us to a higher calling, like the calling of reflecting unconditional love to our enemies. That's a higher calling. To be able to sit in front of an enemy, to be able to sit in front of a person you can't stand and love them unconditionally anyway, as the Lord calls you to do. The Lord calls us up to heaven. And today we celebrate the cross. Because the cross is up. The cross invites us to come on up. Now, following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice he made at the cross on our behalf. And we are grateful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread of the Lord's Supper, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, that in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, and he said, "This cup is a new testament, forged with my blood. Keep on doing this. And as often as you drink from the cup, do that for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so as you remember the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please enjoy the bread, enjoy the cup, and come on up. As you enjoy the elements and as you give thanks to the Lord, let's listen to the Lord's Supper song. Give thanks as we come on up. Break. Welcome back. The Lord's Supper celebration, the cross invites you to come on up. God starts us all in the basement of condemnation at physical birth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22a says, "For as in union with Adam, all are set to die the second death." When we are born in union with our father, the federal head of the human race, Adam. So we are born in a box. But there's a way out. There's another place. We can be in union with Adam, condemned to the lake of fire. We can be in union with Christ by accepting the offer of salvation free of charge by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says that when we do that, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. So I was like, all right, wait a minute. All right, let me get this straight. I was condemned, right? And so I said, okay, I believe in Christ, and now I'm crucified? Wow. That doesn't seem fair. God always starts us off in the basement. At physical birth, we were condemned. At salvation, we were crucified. Why? Because God's intent is to take us out of the basement and have us come on up. And what is that coming on up? It's God wants to resurrect us from the dead. So just as sure as we are down, and that's what happens to us in our life, we get down. You know, things don't go our way and we get down. We kind of wonder, well, why didn't everything go my way? But as a Christian, we know that when we're down, it did go our way, because that's exactly where God wants us to start, in the basement. Why? Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 tell us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord." Isaiah 55, 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You see, when you get in the basement, you think something's wrong. There's nothing wrong. But who's talking about being bummed about being in the basement? Your old self, the sin nature in your body, that body that's going to die one day, that's going to be fertilizer for daffodils. That's who's complaining, because the new self is not complaining about suffering. Because the new self understands what suffering is. You know, ask somebody about suffering, ask Alyssa about suffering. We're working on her quadriceps right now. She's doing wall squats. You know, hear a little bit about suffering. Those things hurt. Right? You get against that wall, and those thighs start burning. And they hurt. Yeah, but for the critical 2 minutes in a basketball game, who's going to be the one who keeps on going in the critical 2 minutes? That's really the question. It's going to be the one who did the wall squats. Who's going to have that little extra flick on the jumper? It's going to be the one who did the wall squats. You know, we're doing our spiritual wall squats every day because we're in the basement a lot of times and we're down. And our old self is complaining about that. The new self complains not, because the new self knows that we're being prepared for the critical 2 minutes of the game. It's God's intention that we are in high places with God. Our way is always up from the basement. Turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 7. Luke 14, 7. Luke chapter 14, verse 7. Luke is at the beginning of the New Testament. I think it's just before John. Anybody here seen my old friend John? Luke chapter 14, verse 7 says this, "The Lord Jesus Christ began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, 'When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't take the place of honor. for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by the host. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this man, and then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. Luke 14:10, but when you're invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. It's kind of my strategy on airlines. I always go and coach first. Luke 14:11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In God's plan, we start at the bottom. In God's plan, we start in the back, and then the Lord lifts us up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22b says, in union with Christ, all will be made spiritually alive. In union with Adam, all are set to die the second death. In union with Christ, for believers in Christ, will be made spiritually alive. No more condemnation for those who are in union with Christ. No more death. No more crying. No more pain. No more mourning. Even in the resurrection of the church age believer, our way is up. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The earth and the universe have 1,007 years remaining, plus X. After this age that we're in, there'll be the tribulation, which is 7 years about, probably even a little more than that. And then a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And as church age believers, we will reign with him on the earth for 1,000 years. And then the destruction of the earth and the universe as we know it. But now we're in the church age, and the church age has X amount of time left. What's X? I don't know. Nobody knows, but we do know that after X is over, there's 1,007 years left, and the X ends. How will you know when the X ends? There's a resurrection of the church. It's called the exit resurrection, exanastasis in Greek, or nicknamed the rapture of the church, that all believers will be plucked off the earth, because Satan contends that the reason he can't run his planet successfully is because you pain-in-the-butt believers are always running around doing your good, and you're kind of interfering with him. The truth of the matter is, if it wasn't for you believers, this place would fall apart in record time. In the next age, the tribulation, it takes 3.5 years for the earth to fall apart. If it wasn't for you, the earth wouldn't be sustained. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, says this. Paul says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, believers in Christ, about those who are asleep, physically dead, so that you will not grieve as do the unbelievers who have no hope. I don't know that you've ever been to the funeral of an unbeliever, but it is a miserable experience because they have no hope. You go to the funeral of a believer in Christ, and it's a celebration. Everybody's laughing, high-fiving, joking, cussing them. Why wasn't it me, man? Why are they in heaven and we're down here? It's a bummer. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, resurrected from the dead, and we believers do, even so, God the Father will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in union with Jesus. So what is Paul telling the Thessalonians? No need to worry about dead believers in Christ, because God's not only going to bring those of us who are living with him, but he's going to bring the dead ones too. And as a matter of fact, he's kind of partial to the dead ones. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain on the earth until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep in physical death. The people who have fallen asleep in physical death go first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead who are in union with Christ will rise first. They'll be resurrected first. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive and remain on earth will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. You know, it's comforting to know that when I close my eyes in this life, I will be absent from the body and at home face to face with the Lord. That's comforting to me. I have no fear of death. I have no fear of getting old. Like anyone, I would like to live a long life because longevity has its place. But I don't worry about that because I know what my fate is. I know what my destiny is. To be at home with the Lord is amazing. Now, the second coming of Christ, his feet will touch down on the earth in the Mount of Olives in Israel. But in the exit resurrection, he will meet us in the air, in the clouds. And so how will we get there? We have to go up. In the exit resurrection of the church, God will take us up. And no matter how down you are, no matter how down you feel, you must know that it is God's intention to lift you up, to build you up, to move you to higher ground. And so if you are down, it's temporary. It's just God showing off. Because God is going to lift you up. He is going to deliver you, and he's going to deliver you in such a way that there is no mistake who did the delivering, and it will not be you. So keep your head up. Let the cross be your constant reminder that our way as believers in Christ is up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "It was for this, the upward call that the Lord Jesus Christ called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." The upward call of God is glory. That's what we have to look forward to in the future. And we live that glorious life right here on earth. And we know that because of the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ, which include these: rejoice always. Down or up, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you who are in union with Christ. In everything, give thanks. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might lift you up at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers his problems, your problems, to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you on this day. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. And to that, we can only say one thing. I stand amazed at grace.
that my love relationship with the Father might become a more intimate one. And I stand away and wait. It's the power of God that saves. I stand away and wait. No work of mine can keep me from the grave.
Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the chance to hear your word. Thanks for letting us know about your Son. Thanks for giving us hope that no matter how bleak our situation seems at the moment, no matter how mundane it appears, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That light is your Spirit, who with our spirit testifies to who you are and gives us hope. And I pray that the hope message of a relationship with Christ might be passed throughout the whole world and especially from our lips, so that all those in our periphery might benefit from our love of you and your Son. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that accurately reflect your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.